Welcome to episode 205 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on November 20th, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a different topic or news and how it relates to you. This episode, we start out with Scott telling his fascinating story about an experience with a horse. From there, we move into a few things around protecting your email in Microsoft 365. We talk about some new changes to external spam or external forwarding rules, how it affected one of my clients and how they got caught by this new feature, as well as priority counts in Microsoft 365. Record, record.
That's the way we do it.
And try not to get stepped on by horses while we do it.
So, yeah. Little aside, one should not get stepped on by a horse. I got stepped on by a horse, like an actual horse.
A big horse, not just like a pony, but like a horse.
Like a horse. So we decided to go horseback riding about a week ago. We went on vacation in North Carolina, like do like the remote cabin thing, like don't see other people for days and days and days.
Yep.
So went horseback riding. It was the day after a pretty decent rainstorm. So, you know, we had all those tropical systems kind of moving through the southeastern United States here. Pretty muddy, creeks were high, things like that. And for this particular trail, you enter through a creek, which, like I said, was running a little bit higher than it probably usually does. You go up a quick little berm, you come back down the other side, and then you're hitting a fork in the creek on the other side, which was running way higher than number one. So I was behind four or five other people. And then I had a couple people behind me as well. You know, we're all going along the trail. And Everybody in front of me took kind of this one path through the creek, because it wasn't just like going straight across the creek. It was kind of like walking up the creek to get to the next part of the trailhead. And so I'm following everybody that's in front of me until my horse decides that it does not want to go on the same path as the four or five horses that have gone in front of it. And it starts walking over towards the left-hand side of the creek. Well, one of the problems there is this creek's been clearly eroded out, and it has a pretty sheer kind of face on it with rocks and roots and all the things. And my left leg is about to go into this wall and get dragged along, because this horse does not want to walk in the creek like all the other horses that are in front of it and behind it. So we start to kind of get back into the creek a little bit, because that's where we need to be. I probably should have listened to the horse a little bit more here. It decided that it was a place it did not want to be. Clearly, it felt like a soft spot or something in like the creek bed, or it hit a rock or whatever. But anyway, horse falls over. I went and got thrown off. So I was probably a little loose in the saddle, but I was still locked into the saddle, because when I got thrown off, it actually took my boot and pulled my boot off my left foot. Like,
just, really?
Yep. Because it was like hanging in the saddle and got flung out. So I go down in the creek. The horse goes down in the creek as well. And it's probably like a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet deep, but it's deep enough that like if you land, you're going underwater in the creek. So I briefly go down, go underwater. While I'm underwater, the horse is standing back up and with one of its rear legs came down on just the side of my left thigh and just missed like so many important things by less than inches, like such a small amount. I mean, I got stomped on, like, you know, it was like putting like a stamp down really quick with that horse's hoof just right on my leg. So I pop back up out of the water, adrenaline's flowing, all those kinds of things. Go find my footwear, because like one of those came off. So I'm like kind of like hobbling through this creek. And then I got to get out of there and go put an ice pack on. So long story short, I ended up with a welt the size of a horse's hoof on my leg. And it's like, yeah, you know, some people like wake up and you go like, maybe you feel like you've been kicked by a horse or like it's something kind of like, yeah, yep. I got stomped by a horse. Not my proudest moment, but I was actually like, makes for a fun story now, like looking back on it, but totally super dangerous situation.
Yeah. Well, and knowing that I mean, you talked about maybe going to the doctor, possibly if COVID ever allows you, but knowing that you're now okay. But I saw the pictures of it, and my girls thought the pictures were beautiful because of all the lovely colors.
Yeah.
Like, on your entire thigh. Like, it's not just a black and blue spot. It's like a black and blue spot.
Everybody take a stop, look down, look at your thigh, and take where your thigh connects to your hip all the way down to your knee, and just turn all of that purple, yellow, green, all those kinds of things, and then add a welt to the size of your leg that's the approximate size of a horse's hoof. I definitely need to go to the doctor because it's been like a week and I'm still limping around with this thing. And you know, no, like not broken. I like my knee is fine. I can wiggle my toes, all those kinds of things. But there's definitely like I messed up that muscle a little bit.
Yeah, that it does not sound like any fun.
No, it's not. But the good part was like we were doing the remote cabin thing. So I just went and sat in front of a fireplace for a couple days after that. And I might have had a couple of drinks too.
Nice and relaxing. And
yeah.
Sounds good. Well, it's nice you were able to get out and relax. Unfortunately, you had to get stomped on by a horse.
Yeah, well, stuff happens.
There we are. You probably didn't get into cloud engineering to spend hours manually sifting through layers of data or manually creating reports to understand and explain your Azure costs. Neither did the IT pros at ShareGate, which is why they built ShareGate Overcast. ShareGate Overcast is an Azure cost intelligence tool that reduces manually monitoring and helps you make cost-efficient engineering decisions. And it can help you lower your Azure bill. ShareGate Overcast scans your Azure environment daily and analyzes your cost data. It automatically identifies cost issues and gives you the insights you need to fix problems fast. Plus, with personalized cost savings recommendations, you can be sure you're only paying for the resources you need. Best of all, you can get ShareGate Overcast free. Find out more at ShareGate.com/ITPro. That's ShareGate.com/ITPro. Yes, my last few weeks were not nearly that exciting or painful.
I think they were a little painful, right? Like we were talking about mail forwarding earlier.
Yeah, so that was a little painful. That was a couple nights ago. So
I've put my horse story on top of you. Why don't you tell me about your mail filtering
story? My mail forwarding story?
Mail forwarding, mail filtering, spam filtering.
Yes. It did not leave me black and blue, but it left me scratching my head. And you and I spent some time discussing this, and we'll probably spend some more time discussing it. So last night, a few nights ago, I got a phone call from a client at like 6 o'clock. So it was almost painful because my wife almost killed me because it's in the middle of dinner. This client does not call me very frequently. So when they do call me, there's usually an issue. So I was like, all right, I better answer this. Pick it up. And he's like, help, I have an emergency. I am not getting any of my emails about so he sells products. He actually sells physical products. He's like, I'm not getting any of my sales emails, any of my info emails from my clients that I'm expecting. I went and checked one of my mailboxes and I'm getting all of these bounce backs and that emails are not getting delivered. And talked to him some more. So these are the mailboxes that go to Freshdesk. He uses Freshdesk for his ticketing system, for all the sales emails, gives him a central place to track all these conversations about potential sales and customer needs and all that. So the way Freshdesk works, if people have not used it, is much like any of this help desk software, you set up a email support at mycompany.com. You set up a mail forwarding rule to send that to support company.com freshdesk.com. Something like that, so that that mail can get forwarded through. Come to find out, there is something blocking all of his external forwarding. Because I started looking at his bounce backs in this mailbox that does the forwarding. I started looking at the mail flow, and he has 150 emails that have been blocked from external forwarding. And they started at a really odd time. And I was like, what is going on? Started asking him naturally, did you make any changes? Blah, 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 any of this. He didn't change anything. It just randomly stopped forwarding. I'm sitting here racking my head around there's no mail flow rules that are preventing forwarding. And it dawns on me only because I had another client that really wanted this safety feature to prevent forwarding is that Microsoft implemented a mail forwarding blocker under the outgoing spam policies in the security center in Microsoft 365. So completely different from mail flow, all of those policies that you would normally set to block external mail filtering, this is in your spam filters. So go in and look at that. And these spam filters that Microsoft rolled out now have three values you can set. And the default is, I lost my webpage with it. The default is automatic.
Automatic.
And then there's, yes, automatic, which rolled out, this got rolled out to his tenant. This got set as the default by Microsoft and was configured in his outgoing spam filters as automatic. There is on and there is off. I went in and switched this to off to allow external mail forwarding. And lo and behold,
well, you switched it to on.
Or I switched it to on. Yes, it's that.
It's backwards the way you would think it is.
It's backwards of the way I would think. I switched it on to allow forwarding. And lo and behold, everything started working. So it left me with two questions. One, did he get any emails or notifications that this was getting enabled and he just missed them? I'm guessing probably.
Yeah, you would think like there was probably something in the message center.
Well, and I'd
have to go back and read through. Yeah, but
right. So I knew this feature was coming. I knew it was out there, but I did not know when it was going to get rolled out. And as we know with all rollouts, it can hit everybody at different times.
That is a thing that happens as features are flighted. True.
So that was one thing was, did he get notifications? He probably just missed it. We probably should have caught this well ahead of time. But then it also left me with the question of what the heck is automatic versus on and off? And this is where our debate came in ahead of time, because this only applies to external email. So this has nothing to do with your internal email forwarding. If you have mailboxes set up to forward internally to any of your existing verified domains, this has no effect. So on allows you to forward everything, off blocks everything. What does automatic do that's different than off? Is this using some intelligence to automatically block it?
Well, it's automatic. Automatic external forwarding is blocked.
I need definitions of automatic. My initial thought was, is that it actually does some type of intelligence looking at it. And it saw this mailbox in particular and said, it's forwarding 150 emails over the course of 12 hours, 8 hours, whatever. Maybe this is something malicious. Maybe we should automatically block mail forwarding on this particular mailbox. I did not think when this was on automatic to have him test other mailboxes to see if automatic applies on a mailbox by mailbox level or if it is an automatic rule across the whole organization based on the number of mails forwarded. I don't see in the documentation anywhere a definition of what automatic does other than it is system controlled and it allows outbound spam filtering to control automatic external email forwarding versus off where all automatic external email forwarding is disabled by the policy. So there's something in there about the outbound spam filtering controlling it versus you controlling it.
Yeah, I'd have to play with it a little bit. I don't know if there's a difference between off, like with off, can you still go in and configure email forwarding on a mailbox? Like say you want to add like an SMTP forwarder, or is that blocked when it's in an off state? So maybe automatic says like you can still turn that stuff on, but it just doesn't work and it's transparent to the users.
So it doesn't block it anywhere. So even the mail flow doesn't actually disable it. Everything I've seen with this is that users can still go configure it no matter how it's set. It's just whether or not it actually gets blocked when it's sent.
Yeah. The other weird thing from the documentation is they do call out, and it's called out the same whether you're looking at how to configure the automatic forwarding rules or the outbound spam filtering rules, policies, whatever the heck they're called now, is that specifically when automatic forwarding is disabled, so off, yep, the recipient will receive an NDR or a bounce. So when I read that the first time, I took that to mean, well, when automatic is on and it's system controlled, it's like a black hole to the user, right? They just think it's going out and they wouldn't get an NDR back.
Right.
But in this case, you were saying it was automatic and you were getting NDRs there. So it's not clear at all like what the difference in those two switches is.
Yeah. Well, and it gets confusing because all of these rules apply to automatic external email, but then you also have the automatic system controlled. So you have essentially automatic external control, or automatic external email forwarding. So again, in the wonderful naming things, you have automatic in all of this documentation. That means two different things, or applies to two different things based on the context. It could be the automatic external email forwarding, or it could be the automatic as the setting.
Yes. Yeah. Good luck figuring all of that out.
Yeah, it is. It's a mess, in my opinion. Or again, you just go turn it on or off based on what you want to do, and you're good to go.
I think if you're worried about these kinds of things and you want to have the most control over your mail flow and everything, like maybe that is the best way to do it. I tend to look at this, you have this set of controls for outbound spam protection. And yep, on the other side, you also have your mail flow rules, right? And normally when we talk about a lot of this stuff, it's a little bit of a binary decision, right? It's a seesaw and you can only be on or you can only be off, like up or down in one state. But yep, in this case, because you're talking about spam protection policies on one side and specifically outbound spam, and on the other side, you're talking about mail flow rules, you're really talking about two seesaws at the playground, and they can both be in different states at any given time. So you do have this ability to go and do things like, hey, let me turn automatic external forwarding on. So it's in a state where automatic external forwarding is allowed and it's not restricted. And then maybe you go in and do something like configure remote domains within your Exchange Online tenant and control forwarding that way. So in the case of like this customer where they were running into this issue, if they had remote domains configured where they, you know, they were allowed to forward these messages to known domains for like their help desk software and their sales and things like that, then, yep, then it's all kind of like kosher, right? It's on and it's ready to go. And then you can block everything else with a mail flow rule if you want to.
Right.
Yeah. But that's more configuration. It is not as automatic as automatic.
Yes. And then somebody goes in and switches this to off and your mail flow rules become a moot point. right? Because this is still going to override any mail flow rules. Because even if you have remote...
Yes.
Even if you have your remote domains and your mail flow rules, this plays its trump card and says, I don't care what your mail flow rules are, you're blocking it.
Correct.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry Software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry Software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email. So the scenario where I had a client that wanted this turned off was they are in a field where they deal with a lot of financial information for their clients. And they actually had a case where one of their employees clicked on something that was malicious and went in and started creating rules on their mailboxes for forwarding, trying to forward emails to some random domain to steal people's financial information. Fortunately, we actually had a mail flow rule in place that blocked all of it. But had the software gone in and done enough bizarre configurations and had enough rights to go in and configure all this, if this would be set to off to block it regardless, this helps prevent against that type of malware where data loss could occur.
Yes, yeah.
Based on other settings or other things that took place within your domain.
I don't think it's a...
It's not a bad one. It's a little odd that it's...
It's arguable about like what a right default setting should be in this case. But I think from my experience managing Exchange Online tenants, whether it's small business or enterprise, like you cross this threshold where you can't track all of your users. And at some point, like you've got to rely on the, on these system features to take care of some of those things for you. I can look at a setting like automatic and, hey, help me figure this out. And, you know, when my CFO clicks a weird link, and that means that, you know, they've potentially been phished and they've given away their credentials or things like that. I don't want just a slew of emails to start going out from their mailbox through something like one of these automatic forwarding rules. So that's a good thing. Or I don't want a user's mailbox to get hacked and somebody configures a forwarding rule and then they start seeing all of our sensitive internal communications. So like, that's totally fine that it's there. I think you have to know that it's there. And it's slightly weird that it's, like you said, it's disconnected from remote domain settings and mail flow rules as well, and could potentially override the way you think your message delivery is working within the platform.
And that was the biggest thing out of this was, one, I'm not sure automatic should be the default, or I need more definitions around what automatic actually does. I don't know how many other help desk software, because help desk software in particular is the one that would forward a ton of email and potentially look like spam when it's really just forwarding tickets to your help desk software.
I think lots of things would do that though. Like you said, like sales, CRM systems, right? Like you might have like an automated contact form on your website and you get 50 people a day that contact you, or you get 5,000 or 5 million, like whatever the number is, right? And that usually forwards itself into some other system. It doesn't sit in a mailbox where a human triages it.
Correct. I would argue that either we need more definitions around automatic or something there, or this should actually be on by default to allow email forwarding, but make people more aware that this feature is there. Because like we said, there are certain scenarios where this would be very helpful. And yeah, maybe some additional configuration options around if you want to allow some trusted domains to automatically forward, like a help desk or CRM or some of those.
Well, I think for you, like I said, like power user, like now you know it's there, you might want to consider those and remember that those are independent states, right? So just put it in a state where it's not going to muck with your existing transport rules and things like that, and just go do everything over there, because that's where, you know, your domain of expertise and honestly where the power is. And then you've kind of taken out that wild card of let's debate what the word automatic means in the context of outbound spam filtering for 10 minutes.
Yes. And like you said, I may go open an issue on this documentation too, because it's all in docs.microsoft, so I can open an issue in GitHub and ask for a better definition.
Yes, ask for some clarification there. And that might turn into like clarifications needed in a couple places, because there's a couple articles. Like there's the one about Defender there that you sent me, but then there's actually the configuration articles, like how to actually configure all the other outbound spam filtering settings, where that does come up again as well.
Yes, definitely. So it was interesting, and maybe I'll email all my clients and said, oh, by the way, if your help desk or any systems stop working that use mail forwarding, go check this setting.
Yeah. Or go look at those mailboxes and see if they have any bounces or NDRs or anything in them.
Because a lot of people don't check those. They're just mailboxes used for forwarding, or they're using mail users for forwarding. So a lot of people wouldn't even see the NDRs.
Yes. Yeah. You would not know unless, like in this case, you're a customer, they noticed this drop in traffic and went, where's all my stuff?
Yep. Exactly. So on the same thread of mail protection, you sent me another interesting article about using priority accounts in Microsoft 365. What are priority accounts in Microsoft 365?
Good question. So
no, that's why I asked.
Well, thank you.
It's like you prepped me for this ahead of time or something. Yes.
priority accounts, it's a mechanism to apply some additional metadata to your users in Azure Active Directory who have things like E5 licenses associated with them. There's kind of two things that come along with tagging accounts as priority accounts. There's this thing called priority account protection. And priority account protection is, it might be a little bit of a mislabel, but it gives you a way to say, okay, I'm going to go into Ben's account. You know, Ben's the chief cloud artisan and CEO of IntelliJink. That's a pretty important role. So I would like to tag Ben as a priority account, and then I can leverage that tag within other places in Microsoft 365 as a filtering mechanism in my reports, my investigations. Like maybe I'm doing something in the security and compliance center and, you know, I need to do some filtering and sorting there, or I need to do some type of alerting based on this subset of users who for one reason or another are important to my business, right? Like they're priority accounts. And I could even tie this back to conversation about your customer with their mailbox that forwards all their help desk tickets, because that could be considered not just a priority account, but a priority business process. And one of the other things that happens with priority accounts is once that tag is applied, you can also use it for mail flow monitoring and do the same kinds of things. So specifically for priority accounts, you can do things like configure an alert that has a threshold against failed or delayed emails, but only for these accounts that are tagged as priority, which is, you know, in the case of like that situation, that could have potentially helped because you would have gotten that alert sooner that said like, oh, like mail flow for this account that normally sends 50 emails a day, it's dropped precipitously. Let's go take a look at that and see what's going on.
Right. Or even like you said, the failed emails.
Yes.
If you're alerting on so many failed emails, it's going to see, hey, this account just had 20 failed emails. Go check it out.
Yep. The other nice thing is because these are tags, they start to manifest and show up within some of the automatic dashboards and reports and things that are available throughout the various Microsoft 365 admin centers, which means when somebody goes and potentially looks at one of those accounts, they would be able to see that tag and see that it's a priority account and maybe recognize that it's a little more important than some of the others. Like I could think of that even being helpful. Like if you have the licensing to do this, you know, I've worked with organizations where maybe like you hire an MSP or even like your internal help desk and you want to flag users as VIP accounts. So like they should get like better escalations. Like for one reason or another, those are the people that are important to the business, or again, the processes that are important or critical to the business.
Yep.
So this is kind of another visual indicator that potentially gets you there as well on some of these dashboards and reports.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if this VIP tag starts making its way into other things as well. Other areas, other reports based on like failed sign-ins in Azure AD or some of those other services to increase some monitoring for those VIP type accounts.
I'd have to think there's potentially something else coming behind that. Like usually these features don't come out of the gate with like one or two things like this and then not get built on over time.
Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business. It's interesting too. There's two different things. So you have your priority account protection, and it looks like that you actually get with that one's Defender for Office 365 Plan 2, which is included with Office 365 or Microsoft 365 E5 or Microsoft 365 E5 Security. And it looks like that's the priority account protection. So those are the requirements for that one. And then you have the premium mail flow monitoring, which it looks like is available just in a native E3 or E5. However, you have to have at least 10,000 licenses.
Yes.
But only 50 of those have to be active users.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I have 50 active users and I want this, I just have to go buy another 9,950 licenses, and then I can get premium mail flow monitoring.
Yeah. Or at that point, you just do the E5s, whether they're Office 365 or Microsoft 365 E5s.
Well, but I don't think that...
And roll with it there.
That's an addition to the E5s for the mail flow monitoring. It's an E5 along with at least 10,000 licenses. So you need an E5 plus 10,000 licenses. Is the way I read that.
Yeah, I am not a licensing expert. I would leave it at that.
Yeah, you can go read this article. This may not be for everyone. At least the mail flow, the premium mail flow monitoring. Again, the priority account protection seems to have a little bit lower barrier to entry than that mail flow monitoring.
Yeah. You know, if you do things like you look at some of the PowerShell commands around it, you understand how Microsoft is looking at it too. You know, like I mentioned, like VIP protection, and there's actually like filters and think about like just doing like a Git user. You can do like dash is VIP. Or when you're setting a priority account, you're actually flagging it as a VIP.
Right.
Like you're setting that bool to true. Yeah.
Yeah. Which we're talking about this too, means you also may be able to use this, create some of your own premium monitoring using something like alerts in the Unified Audit Log or Sentinel in Azure, depending on if this flag gets pulled into some of those other services when it goes and grabs this data.
Yes.
There may be other places to take advantage of that. So I think that about wraps us up for today.
Yeah.
Anything else? That's about our time. This episode will come out, after Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
Right after Thanksgiving, or on Thanksgiving.
Maybe.
I think. I don't know.
You're in control of when things go out.
I think this is our Thanksgiving Day episode, at least Thanksgiving here in the U.S. So, other news, I'm going to do some self-promotion at the end. I updated my whole website, Scott.
My
website got an overhaul. The whole caboodle. And I broke it off. So, I have some new things that I'm going to start doing on my website. So, I have my normal consulting that I've been doing for a long time. But I'm also doing more workshops, and I'm going to start putting some courses on my website. So if anybody's interested in courses or workshops around Microsoft 365 stuff, go check out the new website. There's some new options up there. Because this comes out on Thanksgiving, I am doing my level best to get something out there for Black Friday, Cyber Monday-ish to offer some sales on. The workshops are up there live. The courses, hopefully I'm going to have one up right around that time. So maybe
nice.
A little... new website, promotions around some courses, some workshops. Sign up for mailing list. Keep an eye on that. Hit me up on Twitter if you want to know about all of that. And it might be a busy week, seeing what I can do to get this all ready in the next week or so.
Yeah.
But yes, trying to get some more offerings out there on my website and add some more things out there for people to take advantage of.
Well, very cool.
So with that, go enjoy your weekend. If I don't talk to you before Thanksgiving, have a good Thanksgiving, and we will record next week.
Thanks, Ben.
We'll record on Black Friday. We can record our Black Friday special and talk about all the money we spent.
There we go. Gadgets. It's been a while since we've done a gadget one.
Perfect. We'll talk to you later, Scott.
All right. Bye, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.